as we go into the world of the hater.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't know what happened between Patrick Beverley and Chris Paul, but it is not cool between the two of them.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
CP can't guard nobody, man. What we call him? Cone.
The Rich Eisen Show.
What does the cone do?
Stay still.
Exactly.
Today's guests, CBS Sports broadcaster Jim Nantz, Basketball Hall of Famer Chris Bosh, host of the Greenlight Podcast, Chris Long, plus author Alan Shipnuck. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, sir. Here we are on a very busy Tuesday on the Rich Eisen Show. Please join us here on this program on Peacock and Sirius XM, Rich Eisen Show, Terrestrial Radio Network, Coast to Coast, the Odyssey app, or anybody out there listening or viewing. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial over the next 3 hours. We say hello to our podcast listeners wherever you may be, whenever you may be listening to this show on the Cumulus Podcast Network. You can acquire us all 3 hours of the Rich Eisen Show where all podcasts are acquired. Our YouTube stream is there for anybody who may miss anything. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Over 413,000 subscribers now to our Cumulus podcast, to our YouTube page. And of course, if you want to subscribe to our podcast, we always welcome that. Chris Brockman, good to see you, sir. How
what's
are
up,
you over
up?
There?
I'm great.
And anybody who's watching on Peacock today will know that Chris is absolutely here in the studio and not in front of a green screen, because if he was, he'd be completely invisible. I don't know what you've decided to put on today. I know it's a Celtic green Tuesday. You got the Celtic shoes on for the Eastern Conference Finals that begins tonight.
Let's go!
In Miami. Good to see you, DJ Mikey D.
Good
is in
to see
D's
you,
Nuts
Rich.
In
Good
his
morning.
Position. TJ Jefferson is lighting the candle, which means we have officially begun our program. How are you doing, TJ?
I'm good. You know that bald barbershop video that we made?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the other day in the YouTube comments, somebody was like, I wonder what TJ has under that bandana. I bet not much. So
is that why you're letting it flow today?
21 years of dreadlock growth, bro. That's all I got growing under the bandana. But you have a good day. All right.
Wow. What a way to start.
I mean,
it's close. It's getting close to a Stevie Wonder situation.
Hey, look.
Listen, Chris, you can grow any hair. You talk to me. Okay.
I can grow hair.
Look.
That was aggressive.
One more time, I'll tell you. Don't listen to Patrick Beverley in our comments. Okay. Don't listen to him. No, he's just there to hate.
I'm the social media grandmaster. I have to read the social media, and sometimes people make comments.
Why is Pat Bev commenting on the Rich Eisen Show
I'm
YouTube
I'm feeling
page.
A certain way today, Rich.
Don't read the comments.
And I'll tell you why later.
Good. You're sipping tea. You're just sit back and enjoy. Is it Eastern Conference Finals or Final?
Eastern Conference Finals.
Finals?
But in hockey,
NBA
I
can't keep track.
It's Stanley Cup Final.
No, NBA
right?
Finals.
Okay.
Stanley Cup Final.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Eastern
no
Conference Finals tonight. Game
Miami.
In Miami.
Let's go.
Miami and the Celtics once again locking horns, locking wits. It's the fourth time since 2010 that they've played each other in playoffs. Last time was in the bubble when the Heat won in six, and I said, don't break this team up for Giannis. And the Celtics dispatch with Giannis, creating a wide open throne for somebody to take in this year's NBA playoffs. And here the Heat are again against the Celtics.
Good team.
They faced each other three straight playoff seasons. 2010, Celtics took care of business and led to the Heat to say, we got to do something better here. So let's tune into ESPN and watch LeBron talk to Jim Gray. And that's what happened. Then Chris Bosh shows up. And everybody's taking their talents to South Beach.
Well, Bosh was there before LeBron.
Well, what I'm just saying is everybody's taking their talents to South Beach.
I mean, we've been there. I can't blame them.
And
it's a fun place.
And that's the way the Heat turn around and beat Boston in the 2011 playoffs. And then 2012 was the mother of all series. It was that seven gamer in the Eastern Conference Finals in which the Celtics took a 3-2 lead after falling down 0-2, won three in a row, and then had the chance to close out the Heat in Boston, and LeBron came up with 45 and 15 in game 6 to force a game 7, which the Heat won. Well, especially since that's what eventually sent Ray Allen into free agency, and he took the 3-year deal for Miami instead of the 2-year deal from Boston, and we all know it took years and years up until this past year to clean that up, that mess up on Isle KG. Yep. So that's I mean, that's what's all playing out. And the aforementioned Chris Bosch is going to join us at the top of hour number two to stroll down memory lane.
Another very underrated NBA hooper.
Now, we have not spoken to Chris since he went into the Basketball Hall of Fame and actually did something in his acceptance speech that we told him to
do. RES Consulting.
RES Consulting. Well, maybe this could be – this is at the top of our – of our, I guess, our PowerPoint presentation to all prospective
that and LaDainian Tomlinson's Hall of Fame. If,
bottom line, we said, hey, when you reveal your bust, instead of just lifting the blanket off the bust, you should teardrop it off. He did that. Yep. Mm-hmm. And Chris Bosch told us the story about when he went to Miami first to sign with Miami and join the Heat. He said that Pat Riley took some rings out and gave him a championship ring.
Out of a Crown Royal bag.
Out of a Crown Royal bag.
Should have brought that in.
Out of a felt Crown Royal bag and gave it to Bosch to basically say, hey, you're going to win one of these here, and gave him a championship ring. And he had not given it back. And we said, give it back to Riley when he's sitting there watching you accept your speech in the Hall of Fame. He did that.
Great.
RES Consulting.
That's us. So Chris Bosch is going to be joining us, and as we all know, game one of the Western Conference Finals between the Warriors and John Sally, our third hour guest's choice to make the NBA Finals, if not win at all, the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic. That'll be tomorrow night TNT. Tonight's on the Worldwide Leader in Sports, game one. Yes, sir.
Guys, who is handling the bookkeeping accounting for RES Consulting? Because I have not seen any type of cash flow coming in, and I know we've been putting in work.
Great question. Mike, is that you?
I don't. I think that's Mike.
No.
I think that's Mike. I don't know.
We're going to get on that because we're giving out free.
So that's what's going on in the world of the association. Also, because nothing's really burst to the scene in Patrick Beverley's second day of residency on Get Up. So we'll
Bristol
see what
residency?
Happens there.
That's tough. That's not as good as Vegas.
Today was he and JJ kind of teaming up on Stephen A. a little bit, I think.
Well, at any rate, we'll keep an eye on all things NBA throughout this program. Chris Bosch, that'll be a fun one for us in our number two of this program. The other story that's going on in the NFL is Deshaun Watson is meeting with the NFL, or they with him. I guess, post-Bahamas? He's going to the Bahamas with his Browns teammates to go have a team-building, chemistry-building Bahama workout. I don't know if Baker didn't have the invite or he got the invite, and he's like, nah, I'll pass.
You know?
Yeah, or Baker's having his own thing. You know, but Baker should just have his own thing where, I mean, Cancun? I don't know, the Maldives. The Baker Mayfield Maldives workout.
And, hey, Rich, are you saying that he should do it at the same time so the teammates have to choose?
At the same time. Yeah, I got to choose. You got to choose, too.
Line in the sand.
Yeah, he's going to the Bahamas. I'll take you to the Maldives. Who's coming with me? Anybody who's coming with me? So, you know, the news is that Deshaun Watson is meeting with the NFL, and that's leading everyone to think that, okay, something's going to come from the NFL shortly that makes us all look at the Browns' schedule a little differently to find out exactly when Deshaun Watson's going to be missing football games, a suspension coming. We have no idea when it's coming, if it's coming at all. But as the Cleveland Browns still have Mayfield on their roster, which is something that I thought would happen up to the draft, and I thought sometime during the draft a team that did not choose a quarterback in the draft would go ahead and acquire Baker Mayfield. That didn't happen. We're all wondering, what, as I've said over and over and over again, what is the Browns' plan for Baker Mayfield? And I keep hearing from many different parts of the media landscape, as well as the NFL media landscape, perhaps the Browns' plan is to hold on to Mayfield and have him either go to a spot where a team suddenly needs him because of a catastrophic injury to their quarterback, placing in jeopardy their Super Bowl hopes for a season, and thus just add Baker, and boom, we get our value, or at least close to some value for Baker. He gets a new spot, and everybody's happy. But barring that unfortunate very rare head of a pin type of scenario. Maybe they hold on to him in case Deshaun Watson gets suspended and you've got a guy who knows the offense and knows the team and they know him, and he'll have no choice but to do it because it's his best way to show everyone, A, he's still a gamer, he's a competitor, and he's got it. And I keep saying when I hear that scenario, no chance. Or as Baker might say it, or the kids might say it in five letters, GTFOH. Because he's already said his Cleveland farewell to Cleveland, front-loading his farewell to Cleveland before the Browns ever said farewell to him. And that Cleveland missive, Dear Cleveland, it just said Cleveland.
Cleveland.
That happened while Watson was rejecting the Browns, leading us all to think he was going to go to either Atlanta or New Orleans. And that led to a 24-hour period where the Browns were saying, well, Baker's still our guy. We're going to reach out to him and put Humpty Dumpty back together again for his fifth year without any guaranteed years after that. And he said those five letters to anybody in the media who would listen. Then. So I guess everybody thinks he'll remove those five letters when he has no choice but to do this or sit at home. And again, I don't know the guy. I've interviewed him. I've heard about him. I've caped for him.
Facts. You love him like a son.
But I'm just a
stepson.
If that is, then there is no iPad time for that guy. Sorry, I'm in that mode.
Oh,
at any rate, so I don't know why anybody would think that Baker would reverse his approach, since that's the approach, the planting of the flag that gets him his Heisman and his first overall draft choice. And plus, he already showed Cleveland, I'm here for you. I'm going to play through an injury. And we all can agree that was a massive mistake. Massive mistake. After he hurt one shoulder and then J.J. Watt took care of the other shoulder. And he kept playing even though he missed a Thursday night game. And I guess he saw Case Keenum win one. He's like, I'm not going to go watch him take my job. I got to get back there. And he did not perform consistently enough, well enough, mistake-free enough for this team to overcome it because the defense wasn't as good as it was the year before either. Let's not forget, it's not just him that caused the Browns to miss the playoffs last year. Why would he put himself in that position again? Okay, let's just place the scenario. The GTFOH guy suddenly goes to an ashram and he's hanging out with Don Draper and Will Smith and they all come back and they're just different people now and they're all chill. It's all kumbaya. Let's just assume he does take that approach. And then week two hits and he gets hurt. Is he going to fight through the pain now again? Because he's got to show he's a gamer. He's got to show he's a competitor after he did that the previous year. And you saw what happened, and now this is one of those supposed auditions to show everybody how good he can possibly be. Knowing that Deshaun Watson's coming back in 4 weeks anyway for a team that had went and gave him all that guaranteed money, what do you think he's going to say? Hell no. What would you say? Hell no. But now it'll be viewed as, he's not a competitor. What's he showing people? What's supposed to happen? Teams like 4-2, 5-1? That's his best case scenario. And then all of a sudden, everybody's going to want him at the trade deadline. And then he'll have to show up, learn a new offense in the middle of a season. And then all of a sudden, that's the new audition for a new job. Like, that's his best case scenario. Or does he just sit at home and collect his check and show up somewhere else where everyone wondering about Baker Mayfield and what he can be and perhaps reading into him only the positive aspects of things, which is exactly the scenario that everybody thought he should be in now because he should have sat out last year when he got hurt. So we're telling him, you know what? You should have sat out last year. You'd have been better off. But this year, you should play. You should actually put your body at risk for a team that already told you we're done. GTFOH. With that.
Get out of here.
I'll talk about it with Chris Long when he joins us on this program. I'm going to clean it up a little bit because Jim Nance is about to join us.
Hello.
We're going to talk to him about the schedule. He loves going over the schedule. And I love going over the NFL schedule with him after it has been released. We couldn't get him on last week due to other commitments. He's joining us today before he heads off to Tulsa for a PGA championship.
Oh, can't wait.
For which the defending champion is not there. And we all know why. And part of the reason why we all know why, or the large reason we all know why, is because of a new book called Phil, and the writer of Phil, Alan Shipnuck, will join us from the PGA championship.
I can't get enough of these excerpts, man.
So, because they're all like...
they're crazy.
What?
Yeah,
it's
nuts.
It's really nutty, to say the least. But let's take a break. Jim Nance will join us. The voice of the NFL on CBS will join us next here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Rich Eisen Show back here on our terrestrial radio outfit. One big happy simulcast family. Joining us here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. I love going over the schedule of this guy because we just share a love for the minutia of it. And he's also getting set to call the PGA Championship on CBS. The lead voice of the NFL on CBS, our good friend Jim Nance, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing just super. Thank you for breaking down the schedule. It's a magnificent schedule at that. You're right. We've got a lot of Bengals, a lot of Bills, a lot of Chiefs. There's not a bad week in there. You didn't mention, by the way, I don't believe you did, that we have the Bucks and the Rams, which is a playoff rematch and one of those famed cross-flex games that we get these days where we are able to trade back and forth with the Fox broadcasting system, a game from their package over to ours, and in return we send them one or two as well. So yeah, it's good. I can't wait. But I'm all golf this week. It's the second major of the year. I know we're here to talk football, but I'm going to put my golf hat aside and let's go.
Okay, and then you'll pick up that golf hat shortly, because again, as you just pointed out, major championship week. The NCAA tournament was as exciting as ever, and it was terrific. And you get to do so many great things for the Tiffany Network. Where does Bills Chiefs, that divisional game, rank in terms of what you hear from fans or friends to call you up and talk about, Jim?
Most were saying that was the best game they had ever seen. Now, I know we all get caught up in recent happenings being the best, the worst, or the most something. It always is fresh in our minds, and it usurps everything else that came before it. But listen, I've been doing it for a long time, the NFL and college football at CBS, going back to to 1985. I've never seen a game like that. It was just storybook. And all those touchdowns scored inside the last 2 minutes of regulation to bring this game to overtime. And, of course, there was the outcry at the end of the game. I felt like we kind of led that discussion because right on the spot we got into the fact that Buffalo never had a chance to have a possession. I don't know how you feel about this. We've discussed it before. But it did create change in the offseason for postseason overtime games. Anyway, short of it is week six, they'll meet again at Arrowhead. I hope they pick up right where they left off. And I can't wait to see it, the whole thing.
Yeah, and you know, the CBS football package has been, for quite some time, closely associated with the American Football Conference. And as you pointed out, you've got Bucks-Rams on CBS. So we call that in the television business, I guess, a cross-flex game in a way where and we're seeing more and more of that. But still, it's a predominant AFC package. Deepest conference we've ever seen, right? Wouldn't you say?
I think
right
so, now? Because you know, the league, as you know, Rich, really more than ever is about the quarterback position. And it's a damn near monopoly right now on young quarterbacks. On the AFC side, and as I discussed last week on the schedule show, we imported two prominent quarterbacks from the NFC, if you will, during the offseason, and that would be Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan, both of whom have played in Super Bowls. You know, Russell, of course, has won one. Matt almost had one. And they're going to come in and have prominent roles and have a chance to lift their respective new teams, the Broncos and the Colts, to great heights. And they join this plethora of young talent like Josh and Patrick we just spoke of with Bills and Chiefs. And, you know, Deshaun Watson is going to be back at some point. Lamar and I think Justin Herbert's the most under-discussed superstar in waiting that there is in the league. I think watching him play, it's breathtaking. I think he might have more talent than anybody. So it's going to be fun. And it's amazing the way the quarterback position, especially on the AFC side, has been loaded up over recent years. So where it's set up the next decade and beyond to be magical.
Right, and then the best receiver in the game was imported from the NFC as well, sitting out there in Las Vegas right now in Davante Adams, and Randy Gregory gets imported from Dallas to Denver, and
Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack
comes from Chicago back to the AFC side. So
you're going to be spending a lot of time, I imagine, Mountain time zone and West, I'd imagine.
What I thought. That's the only thing that is a bit baffling to me, just the way the schedule worked out. You can't get everything you want, but I thought we would have week after week of AFC West matchups, and it doesn't really reflect that. Now, all of this is subject to change, but there's not really a bad matchup, at least going in. You know, somebody's going to end up at the bottom of that division. But that division, I've never seen anything quite like it. The way everyone loaded up on talent, whether through the draft or free agency or through trades. And you know, at this point, you think every one of those divisional matchups in the AFC West should be great. But I don't see right now that Tony and I will have any of those divisional games.
No.
That doesn't mean that won't change, and that doesn't mean they're not going to be prominently played in big window spaces, but it's just, you know, we've got Dallas twice, Green Bay twice. This is honestly part of the reason why I made the move to spend most of my year in Nashville, Tennessee, because, first off, I love the people here. They're extraordinary. And secondly, is the travel is so much easier for me. It's just, for whatever reason, the way our games get networked, it's a predominant Eastern and Central time zone package when you're talking about the A game and the doubleheader game. It's always been that way. And I lived out in California full-time for 10 years, and if I got one game a year in California, I felt like I was fortunate. I don't understand why it works out that way, but it does. And, you know, we got two Tampa Bay games this year. I mean, their schedule, I can't gripe about it. But it is not a West Coast-based schedule for whatever reason.
Well, and it's you do have Christmas out here in Los Angeles with Russell Wilson visiting the Rams. That's on.
I haven't quite discussed that one fully with my young kids. As you know, I have three children, and two of them still very much believe in Santa. So I saw you last week talking to
Stafford.
Matthew Stafford about that.
Yeah.
And I've got them in the same boat. I don't know how we're going to solve that one, but that will be a great game. You know, that's an exciting matchup to have. 4:30 Eastern on Christmas Day, Denver and the Rams. You know, that game should hold up and be very meaningful come December 25th.
Yeah, it'll be difficult to explain to your kids why Santa looks a lot like Aaron Donald or Sean McVay. You know.
I don't think they'll be making the traveling squad for that game. I don't think you'll uproot your kids from your decorated home and all the excitement and the countdowns and the elf on the shelf and all this. I don't think I can slide the calendar either. So I'm still trying to come up with some clever ways. Hey, I don't want to miss it. I got to be honest. I mean, of course, I want to do the game and I will do the game.
Right.
But when you have kids that are under 10 years old, 6 and 8 in my case. Those are really special, important family days. So I'm going to figure out a way to reroute it somehow.
Did you hear what Stafford said?
He's
Stafford, because I asked him if he was going to just bust out like the Thanksgiving family playbook, because he had to do that for about 10, 12 years, right? The Thanksgiving Day, Stafford play football and still have a holiday playbook. And he said he was trying to figure out a way to make sure his kids thought Christmas was coming on the 26th. I don't know.
At least he's home. You know, like I heard him talking about it, but at least it's a home game. And I know that they'll stay in a hotel, presumably, on Christmas Eve night. But the game will be over at 4:30 West Coast time. Mm. Let's do a little media. Let's shower up and let's get in the car and probably be home by 6:30 to 7. So you can still salvage it. On my end, that's going to be a harder nut to solve, but we'll figure it out.
Jim Nance here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before we turn to golf, one last question about broadcasting and having a partner like you have in Tony Romo. And I just remember when Romo joined CBS and was going to join you in the booth, a lot of people were wondering how good he would be at it, because the Romo that we saw deal with the Dallas media was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys dealing with the Dallas media, which is don't say much, don't give him anything, and realize that some people are coming at you with some questions that you might not like. And everybody thought like that would be the Romo to show up next to you. And then a dynamic announcer with a goofy side and a funny side showed up. Now, I think a lot of people are subscribing a similar thing to Brady. And I figured I'd ask you what you think the challenges are for Tom Brady as somebody who's seen him in many a pre-production meeting, perhaps be somebody other than the Brady that the rest of the public gets to see. And your two cents on Tom Brady getting ready to take a significant role in the broadcasting business when he's ready.
First off, I know Tom really well. He's a friend, and I've done over 100 of his games, more than anybody by about 40-something games, I believe. Al would be somewhere in the 60-something number of games. Only know this because the Boston Globe wrote about it a year ago. But he'll be very well prepared. That goes without saying. His analytical brain, when you sit in a production meeting and you hear what it is that's going on in his mind and what he sees, I know he's going to be able to articulate that. I think he'll be very good. I don't have any question about it. I did not think this was something that he would want to do at the end of his career, interestingly. I didn't see it coming. I thought that when the playing days were over, he might want to get involved in some sort of film production and some behind the scenes things like that. But I'm thrilled that he's going to have a voice in the sport. And I think what's happened here recently is that everyone's realized that platform, being a lead analyst on one of the very few, handful of packages in the NFL, it's a big deal, and you are extremely relevant. And people are listening to everything you say, and Tom will be up to the challenge. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and plus he's got, I mean, what a wealth of of experience and knowledge that he can communicate. And I guess that's the issue, is how to communicate it and when to communicate it. And Romo seemed to step right into that role with you. And still,
you know,
has.
I've said this, and I know who they are, but in that summer of 2017, as we were working practice games together, including three preseason games on site, and no one was being exposed to the video, the tapings that were being shipped back to the headquarters in New York. Those were guarded very carefully. We wanted his debut to be a real debut without anybody pirating anything that we were working on, practicing and rehearsing. And then we did other games inside of a studio, just calling games off of a screen and trying to simulate it to be as real as possible. I never had a doubt that he would be an absolute genius at this. I had a friendship with Tony that went back many years before the arranged marriage by CBS to put us in the booth together. I'd had the pleasure of his company many times off-site at golf events or at dinners or a Final Four or playing in the tournament in Pebble Beach, and there was a friendship there. And I just knew the way Tony expressed himself, that he would be a natural. Now, as this all evolves over the summer of 17, I had a lot of folks in the media who would call me up and say, how's he going to be? And I said, listen, you can be on the right side of history if you want. I guarantee you he is going to be a star. Now, if you want to hedge it because you don't believe it, because you have some other vision of him, what he's going to sound like or be like, then, hey, that's up to you. But if you want to be on the right side of history, I'm going to tell you right now, the guy's going to be, in time, he might be the best that's ever done this. So I know it. I've only got 30 years of experience. Yes. So you can go with your hunch or you can go with my hunch. So it's up to you. If you want to write with a lot of doubt, well, that's your prerogative. But if you really want to take, I'm not trying to sell you anything. You got to listen to me. I am telling you the truth. He is going to be absolutely great at this from the first game. And I got to tell you, not one person took me up on that.
No.
Not one. Not one. Not one. I know who they are. And, you know, they hedged. And they jumped on board really fast, you know, for their expert analysis on it. But going into it, I had the inside track. I knew it before we even did a practice game. He was going to be a genius at it. So, and he did a lot of work, though, to understand the mechanics of it, the ins and outs and how broadcasting works and all that. And I'm extremely proud of him. I love working with him. And you know what the amazing thing is? Rich, we're going to year six.
Mm.
We are now the most tenured booth.
That's right.
For the lead broadcast.
Isn't that incredible?
In the NFL.
That is
we're
incredible.
We're not the newbies. We're the oldies.
You're the OGs.
5 years of experience now is the most tenured booth at each network's
right
number one team. So, you know what? We're going to do this for a long time, too. We're going to be together for many years, and we're in place to do what we want to do and try to make our own mark, and we wish everybody well. I know people trying to make this a competitive thing, but you know, we got our own games to worry about and things like that. We're all really trying to present the NFL in the best possible light. So, you know, other broadcast teams, you know, my friendships that are out there with other guys that are in lead roles, these are like lifetime special real friendships. I don't pull against anybody. I'm not trying to outsmart, outdo this. We just want to be the best we can be. And I just like our situation of having the chance to go work 21 weeks a year together, having fun, conversing, looking at one another face-to-face. I've never broadcast like this before. It's the way Tony likes to do it. Sure, the field is right below us, but when we're actually talking to on the air, our comments, we're actually making eye contact. We're not looking down at the field without making eye contact. We're looking and angled at each other. And I think that's part of a little secret sauce, if you will. Most of the time, you kind of always have your eyes on the field. We have our eyes in our sight line, Rich. We have a whole row of like 5 monitors. So I can look at Tony and I can see a shot change just looking just off a little bit past his eye line. Same thing for him. He's angled at a 45-degree angle, and he can still see what's going on. And when the play starts, we turn our attention to the field.
Mm-hmm.
When the play is, we're looking at each other. It's unique. It's a blast. I'm just happy that the NFL is such a fun part of my life these days, and Tony's a giant reason why.
It is. It's going to be a great season, no doubt about it, and I appreciate you taking the time now, certainly on a busy week for you. Before I let you go, do you have any thoughts on the PGA Championship? You're heading off to Southern Hills CC today. What are your two cents on what to expect this week?
This course is going to show up. It's going to look like an incredible stage. I know that sounds a little weird, but if you're a golf guy or golf person, and you get these major venues, and you get this excitement about, man, wouldn't that be fun to go play there? I think there's going to be a whole new appreciation for this place called Southern Hills, which is rich in history. It's already had seven majors in its past, but it's going to be a little bit different after Gil Hans came in and changed it. We got Tiger feeling a lot better than he did as far as health and strength at Augusta a month ago. I actually think he can contend. You know, we got Jordan Spieth, who's gone 1-2 his last two starts. And the significance here, and it's a lot of significance, if he were to win here, it'd be just the sixth in history to win the career Grand Slam. You know, joining Tiger and Jack and Gary Player, Ben Hogan, and Gene Sarazen. Mm-hmm. The only five players have won all four legs of the Grand Slam. Jordan Spieth can enter that company with a win this week, and he seems to be primed to do that. Of course, you got Scottie Scheffler, who's having this season of all seasons for him. He's won four times, including the Masters. So, I don't know. It should be great fun. Really looking forward to on foot.
Oh, and I look forward to having you call it. Hey, Jim, my friend and producer, Chris Brockman, just got on my ear. I had no idea. Of course, you didn't mention it when we chatted yesterday. Today's your birthday. Happy birthday, yeah. Jim Nance.
Well,
my gosh, thank you.
I wanted to spend my birthday.
That's what I said. What to get a man who has everything for his birthday? An invitation to chat for 20 minutes on the Rich
Why
Eisen
not?
Show.
Get a That's guy it. Like that. You know what? You get him an appearance on his buddy Rich Eisen's show. But hey, congratulations, Rich, to you and your whole team.
Thanks.
I know you all are going back to New York for the Emmys.
Yep.
And you know how vital every single person is to the success of this show. I think it's awesome, by the way, that everyone's going to go attend the Emmys next week. And I'll be pulling for all of you.
Thanks, Jim.
For the great work that you guys do.
Well, Jim, you're the best. I cherish that I get to call you a friend and be able to wish you a happy birthday personally.
Thank you.
And you be well. Travel safe, and we'll chat soon. Thanks again.
I look forward to it, as always. Thanks so much.
Okay. Goodbye, friend, I guess is the way to say it, to Jim Nance, the one and only.
Goodbye, friend.
Right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
How about that?
It's a birthday.
63 years young, Jim Nance.
Now, just as I told you, and 2017, as he said, a bunch of people weren't going to take him up on how good Romo was going to be. What did I say on this show?
That you didn't think he'd be good?
Yeah, I mean,
No, Rich said Romo was going to nail it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
Rich was ahead.
Yesterday's
Rich was
ahead. Third-hour guest, Steve Young, and I did
Romo,
a Q&A Chalk Talk, as it's called.
Before the Super Bowl?
Before Super Bowl 50, we were in a restaurant in San Francisco for our friends at Courtyard.
Yeah.
Me, Steve Young, and Tony Romo. And Tony was so good.
That would have been 2016.
This was in 2016, but he was just about to go take a gig.
Right.
And or they were just about to draft Dak, and he got hurt. I think that's what that was.
Right.
This is going into what wound up being his final season.
Yeah, 2016, he got
Dallas.
Injured in the preseason.
Correct.
Yeah, right.
This is when that was. And I remember he was not only so incredible at breaking down what Cam Newton's issues might be in this game, and Peyton Manning towards the end of his career and what he used to be able to do and what he can't do now, and how Carolina could exploit that, what Von Miller could do to distress Cam Newton, all of those X's and O's. But on top of it, the way he explained it and was funny I remember locking a glance with Steve Young at one point while Romo was doing his thing, and the glance was, this guy, really? Hey. Look at this guy. We were both like, oh my gosh, he can do this. So when it was announced that he was going to join Jim Nantz in the booth, I'm like, he's going to nail this.
Yeah, I remember you saying look that at that the video. Time, yeah.
Maybe we should repost that. Because anything that I'm right about should be reposted.
Stay humble, Rich. Stay humble.
Well, it's hard when you're doing that on a Jumbotron.
Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen loves Rich Eisen.
By the way, let me say
when
this.
You're stunting on a Jumbotron,
if we win the
Emmy
in a week, I am not going to be humble.
Oh, I know.
stop.
He's not lying, Rich. Brockman and I together might be a little.
I'm not going to be on the show for a couple weeks.
And we already know how Mike acts when he gets his Emmy.
Because I know what they're going to be like.
Parade.
And what they do to me, because I've had multiple Emmys, what they bust my chops, wait till if, oh my God.
Why would it be a negative if we all
win? Yeah, what do you mean?
A negative for the fact of having to deal with
these. Can we be positive? You came on the air angry at people, going after your hair.
Not angry. I want to win, but
I'm saying. Life is too good to be angry.
They bust my chops when I talk about it.
Because Mike, when you win, you're part of like a 50-person group.
Yeah. Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
See, this is exactly why.
All right, let's take a break before this gets ugly. 844-204-RICH, note it down. Instead, you know, we'll change the subject. We'll come back. And hit the subject matter that Del Tufo keeps saying off the air about him being faster than Lawrence Taylor. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Every golf equipment company claims to be long or off the tee, but Callaway's new Rogue HT driver is the only one built to completely bomb it. Speed tuned, that's the ST, to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge gives you more speed on off-center hits, provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. The Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS, that is the compact, low-spin head that the tour players love. You will see that in a handful of bags, to say the least, at Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma, for the PGA Championship this week. And as a matter of fact, go to our Twitter account later on today at Rich Eisen Show. The four of us have done what we did for the Masters. What we're going to do for every single major championship this year is have a Team Callaway draft. And whoever has the best average score of all of our drafted players for every single one of the majors gets the most amount of Chrome Soft golf balls for a putting contest on our putting surface here. That's the way we're going to roll on the master from the major seasons. But for this particular moment, make sure you check out to find out which Rogue ST driver fits your game best at CallawayGolf.com/GoRogue, because Callaway has thought through every aspect of speed, so all you have to do is go Rogue. 844-204-RICH, number to dial on the program. The stuff I hear from this chair in commercial breaks and prior to the show, you would not believe. I am honored that we're Emmy nominated for what you do consume and you do hear. I proffer to say the competition would be over, with all due respect to every single one of the other Emmy-nominated daily shows up for the trophy next week. If you got what you hear, what I hear off air, competition would be over. We'd already have a trophy in the case or right next to me right here. Too-wit. I've been hearing the conversation between you guys for weeks now, and I'm like, when's the perfect time to bring it up? Today's now the time to pop it out of the bag. Mike Del Tufo, you say that back in your day,
when I was
in Livingston,
skinny,
New Jersey, right?
Good six-pack abs runner.
Okay.
Perfect.
You were a
shape.
Runner.
I was the epitome. I finished number one on the police test in the physical test.
Okay.
Just, and you had to run in that and do 40s and stuff.
Just like...
I'm setting this
just
up.
Just like George Stone, a.k.a. Giuseppe from the Untouchables.
Yes.
You were the best in your class.
I was the best in my class.
Okay.
Yes.
You claim what now?
What I claimed, we had a talk, and Chris will set it up because he'll know
you
that
to
I'll...
Set it. I think I've set it up.
We talked about Lawrence Taylor. I don't know why I came up.
We were just talking about TJ.
And I went, and I don't know why I came up, and I'm like... Something, I don't know why somebody's talked about speed. I'm like, he wouldn't have caught me when I was like a kid.
Because he's one of the fastest around the edge ever.
There's no question.
Reggie
White, those guys, Deacon Jones, Deacon Jones might have caught me. He's a little smart. But still, at the same time.
Smarter than who?
There's no way. I would have totally beaten him off the line. There's no way. I was 150
You would have beaten
pounds.
Lawrence Taylor off
he
the line.
He would have caught me. I'm telling you, no one could catch me when I was a kid.
Oh,
no
boy.
One. No one. My brother Anthony, I would play with him and go, come on at me, and I'd run away from him. And he was a lacrosse, all-state lacrosse player. My brother Frank couldn't catch me. I want my brother Frank to call. He'll tell you. I was one of the fastest kids around. That's all I could do was run and roller skate. Well, both one of the best roller skaters and one of the best runners I know ever, period. I'd have people try to catch me all the time. He would not have caught me.
Lawrence Taylor.
Now,
in his day, in his
sprinter,
Lawrence Taylor, in his rookie of the year day in New Jersey, the two of you were probably around the time where you were as good as
now,
you're saying.
Rookie of the year. So you're saying right out of college, like he's
right,
coming
we're
in.
Saying you're no, yeah, Lawrence Taylor at his peak, Mike Del Tufo at his peak. Del Tufo has a faster burst than Lawrence Taylor.
100%.
Now, do you have like a head start, or are you just
You got to give me. Like I said, he couldn't catch me. To take that term, I'm not saying I would beat him in a race. He wouldn't have caught me. I would have gotten away from him.
He wouldn't have tracked you down.
He wouldn't have tracked me down.
Like he did every single quarterback. But the quarterbacks were
stationary.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm faster than him that way. I'm faster getting away from him. He would, and that is exactly what I said, Chris. You know I'm right.
I said he wouldn't catch me. I believe you. That's what you said. But the fact that you actually believe this...
He doesn't believe it,
I do believe it.
Nah. Remember the actor Michael Vartan, who's been here before? I think he once upon a time said that he could have tackled Jerome Bettis from the 10-yard line coming in.
See, that's
like
crazy.
At least one time out of 10, he would have been able to take out Jerome Bettis.
That's crazy.
But you're not.
But no, Mike.
I'm not saying I can...
We'll ask this of Chris Long in hour number two. That's
else.
For darn sure. And Chris Bosch coming up.
Okay, so wait. You're at a starting line. Ready, Mike, go. 1,001,
Lawrence has
1,002,
to kill. LT's
and then
catch
Lawrence
me.
Goes, no. You're not getting
he's
caught? Not,
no, I'm getting away from him. 100%. Because he's only got like five, or he's a bigger guy. He's only got like 5, maybe 10 seconds of speed.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's done. I'm gone. I'm already gone.
Where are you going?
I'm going to keep running and he ain't going to catch me.
It's not the destination, Chris. It's not the destination.
When I was in my peak form, when I ran the New York City Marathon.
What year was that?
I told you, 83, 82. It was twice I did it. Getting back to my point, that was when I was at my peak form of running.
Yes.
And I was literally, and I say this, no one was faster than me, except for a couple kids on my team that were on my lacrosse, My
track team?
Track team.
Uh-huh.
My brother Anthony was in phenomenal shape at that point. Still couldn't catch him.
I don't know how we can confirm this. How do we confirm
this? There's no way to do it. There's no way to tell it doesn't exist.
All right, hold on a second. If you were so good, right?
Yeah.
Let's just trust everything that you're saying.
Okay, which is,
if you're so good, why aren't you coaching Rich to run the 40?
Because I was not, I don't consider myself a sprint.
He's not a speed guy.
No, I was, yeah.
He's not a speed guy. He's an escape guy.
I'm an escape guy. That's exactly
he's an escape
it.
Guy. He's the Houdini.
I was the baby in the family. I had to get away from everybody as a kid getting beat
up. You're not a speed guy, but you're going to get away from LT?
The Houdini of Essex County.
Oh, right your there. Brother called in.
Okay, he
your
did.
Your brother Frank's called here. In. Hold on. He's on the phone with Adam.
We only have a minute to go here. We can't just pop him on. This is more than, like, we got the heart out.
Yeah, Frank's got to hang.
Sort of like LT back in the day. After now, after 20 yards, he'd have that heart out. He's out, and Del Tufo Mikey's gone.
Is your brother in Chicago?
No, he's not. He might be.
Hold on a minute.
All right, well, he's got
Frank's charming. This is great. Frank's going to have to hold.
Frank hates me,
though.
So
Frank, you're going to have to hold.
What do you mean he hates you? He's your brother.
What are you talking about?
He's going to make up fibs because he's going to say I didn't even run.
You said have Frank call, and here's Frank.
Yeah, you literally said have my brother call in.
Yeah, but if he's honest on the phone call, then I'll believe it. He's not going to be – I'll hang up on him if he talks crap.
He's priming the pump here.
Yeah, because he does it just
– How much older is Frank than you?
3 years.
Okay.
But he's a –
So then he would know. This is great. I've never said this before as a tease. Chris Bosch, Chris Long, Frank Del Tufo on Mike being faster than Lawrence Taylor.